Good afternoon, 4:30 and 37 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
When he called the dispatch, he called reporting that he had shot his girlfriend. I believe he made some kind of reference to thinking maybe she was a Russian spy or something along those lines.
Rowan County Sheriff Matt Spark says three people are dead after a man admitted to a shooting and then set a house on fire.
Students are sent home early from Morgan County High School after a threat was discovered in a bathroom.
And Ashland's mayor is hoping commissioners name a new city manager by March.
In sports, college football's national championship will be decided this evening in a rematch between Alabama and Clemson.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the upper 20s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The three persons killed in a shootout and fire Sunday with Rowan County and Kentucky State Police have been identified. Coroner John Northcott says the victims are 51-year-old Gary Morrison, his 71-year-old mother Anna, and his 32-year-old girlfriend Latoya Cooper. Rowan Sheriff Matt Spark says it appears as if Morrison killed the two women and then set the Island Fork Road home on fire.
Yeah, that's what we believe, that he shot both females in the residence, set the place on fire, and took his life.
But not before Morrison barricaded himself inside the house and exchanged gunfire with police. Deputy Baker Hollis was wounded in the arm, but is now recuperating at home and is expected to make a full recovery. According to Sheriff Sparks, Morrison had a history of mental health and drug problems.
Students at Morgan County High School were sent home early today after a threatening note was discovered in a restroom at the school. The district superintendent says West Liberty Police are investigating the incident. The note, which reportedly claimed there was a bomb in the building, was found before noon.
Kentucky State Police say three persons have been arrested on forgery, chop shop, and stolen firearms-related charges following a three-year investigation. Charged are 61-year-old Marty Stevens of Moorhead, 53-year-old Daryl Kahn of Olive Hill, and 65-year-old Randall Kahn, also of Olive Hill. Troopers say the trio was indicted by a Rowan County grand jury after search warrants were issued at Lion Lee's Auto Sales and related properties dating back to 2013.
Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins is still pushing to get countywide zoning laws in place. He plans to take another step in that effort very soon.
A guy from Frankfort's going to come in, hopefully at one of these meetings, and talk to the court and explain why this is something good. He's with the state building people, and he actually started the program over in Madison County. He's just a wealth of knowledge. He's going to come and present to the probably to the court, and we'll be taking a vote on just mainly to educate us about the issue.
Even though many of those living in the county have said that zoning would infringe on their property rights, Blevins argues such laws would actually protect the values of many properties by preventing such things as the building of a hog farm next to a subdivision. At some point, Blevins says he'll appoint a special commission to hold public meetings on the issue at various locations around Rowan County.
The city of Vanceburg is deciding between two bids for the raising and cleanup of an old downtown manufacturing plant. Mayor Matt Ginn says the company's hoping to demolish the former L.V. Marks shoe factory, turned in offers to do the work for less than the $250,000 the city received in state and federal grants for it.
I would like, sometime toward the end of February, if everything gets done, is actually award, and I think all contractors involved are ready to hit the ground running, that as long as weather's prevailing, that they'll hit the ground running right there at the beginning of the probably March.
Ginn says because of the historical nature of the old factory and the fact that federal money will be used to help tear it down, several agencies must sign off on the project before the bid is officially awarded. The mayor believes the project to demolish the building and remove debris should take less than 2 months.
A federal grant of $259,000 will allow the expansion of the Mount Olivet sewage treatment plant. According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, the money is from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and will expand capacity at the facility from 49,000 gallons per day to 63,000. Total cost of the project is estimated at nearly $1.3 million. The Robertson County plant was built 12 years ago.
Contractors begin work this week on a $600,000 renovation of the Highlands Museum and Discovery Center in Ashland. Director Carol Allen says the project involves new doors, bathrooms, elevators, and other improvements to the Winchester Avenue facility.
We've been approved of our CDBG grant, which is really initiated through the governor's office, and it's a $500,000 grant, and we also have a $125,000 match from Woodlands Foundation, which gives us $625 to work with.
Allen says the renovation should be finished in March, and the museum will not have to be closed during any aspect of the work.
Entrepreneurs scouting locations for their startup businesses now just expect to have broadband access, and communities that can't provide it are being left behind. So says Ashland City Commissioner Amanda Clark. That's why it's vital, she says, that the city follow through on its project to wire the Winchester Avenue area downtown for broadband.
We've got to view it the same as we view water and sewer and garbage and those sorts of things, because it is that important to how we move forward in economic development.
Clark works for the Ashland Alliance, a regional business organization that promotes job growth and development in the region.
The first applications for city manager of Ashland are beginning to trickle in. That's according to Mayor Steve Gilmore, who says he'd like to see the position filled by March.
I sure hope so. I think we have at least one applicant already, and we just started over the past weekend with our ads. I'm sure hoping so, and it's going to be a tough endeavor. Drawing somebody that wants to come to small town America, sometimes people are looking for that, though, you know, so that's what we're hoping to tap into.
Gilmore concedes the city has not had much luck when commissioners have hired managers from outside the area. He says it's hard to tell how that might impact the pool of applicants this time. Benjamin Bitter came to Ashland from Arizona in 2014 and quit after barely 2 years on the job. Randy Robertson resigned as the city's top administrator in 2007 after spending less than 8 months in the position. He was from New Mexico.
An Ashland commissioner thinks one of the best ways to promote the city as a good place to live and do business is to point out how safe it is. Marty Gutz says that's something people don't think about very much.
Do you realize in this city, a police officer has never discharged a firearm since 2003? That's been 14 years ago. Before then, it was 23 years before a police officer discharged. We live in a good city.
Gutz says Ashland has a lot going for it as the new year begins. He says ground has just broken for a $1.5 million facility to house the city's water distribution, meter services, and sewer maintenance operations. In addition, says Gutz, more than 800 permits have been issued for new businesses in the community over the past 2 years.
Senator Mitch McConnell met with President-elect Donald Trump in New York today and says he's confident about half a dozen of Trump's cabinet nominees will be confirmed by the Senate as the 45th president takes office. The Republican and Senate Majority Leader spoke to reporters in the lobby of Trump Tower.
Everybody will be properly vetted, as they have been in the past, and I'm hopeful that we'll get up to six or seven, particularly the national security team, in place on day one.
McConnell says he also discussed the Senate's process for repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act.
Governor Bevin and other Republican leaders in the Kentucky legislature say the first week of the 2017 General Assembly was incredibly productive and charts a new course for the Commonwealth. The House and Senate passed 7 bills, 2 dealing with abortion and 2 others with the workplace. Legislators approved a measure making Kentucky a right-to-work state and repealed the Commonwealth's prevailing wage law. Jeff Hoover is House Majority Leader. He spoke with reporters in Frankfort on Saturday.
I feel good for the people of Kentucky because we made a commitment after November the 8th that we were going to do business in a different way. I don't think anyone can question that we've done that, and we have produced results with the legislation that we passed.
The governor says he'll hold ceremonial signings for all the bills over the next few days.
Kentucky Democrats claim the new Republican supermajorities in the House and Senate are turning a deaf ear to organized labor in the state. Rick Rand of Trimble County says gutting Kentucky's prevailing wage law and the right to work bill have been an affront to labor concerns.
I know when a strong voice comes to Frankfort, and sometimes they hit a brick wall. And not only have they hit a brick wall, but they are being blocked in.
A local Republican legislator sided with the Democrats on two labor bills. State Representative Jill York says right to work and repeal of the prevailing wage will diminish the hard-earned wages of Kentuckians. She says she's all for improving the business climate and bringing new jobs to the Commonwealth, but not at the expense of working people.
The Mount Sterling Advocate is reporting that State Representative David Hale has offered to sponsor legislation in the 2018 state budget calling for construction of a regional wellness center in Mount Sterling. The idea was discussed at a recent meeting of the Mount Sterling Montgomery County Parks and Recreation Board. Hale is said to have asked the board to work with Montgomery County School District and other local officials on a proposal for the facility, which would include an indoor swimming pool. The initiative comes on the heels of an announcement that the Winchester YMCA will be closing because of financial difficulties.
After a 31-year partnership, King's Daughters Medical Center is ending its relationship with an independent physicians group, MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the Ashland Emergency Medical Associates will be replaced by the national hospital staffing firm Team Health. King's Daughters spokesman Tom Deering says the decision was made by the hospital with the intent to improve waiting times and increase patient satisfaction scores. Dr. Alexander Krivchenya is the longest tenured member of AEMA, and he's not happy with the hospital's decision, saying they have made a mistake by letting go so many residency-trained, board-certified doctors. The replacement transaction will happen this coming Sunday. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
A plan by the Veterans Administration to build a new hospital in Louisville is being challenged by the city of Radcliffe. Mayor Mike Weaver says the site of the VA that the VA has selected is in a terribly congested area, and his city can provide a far better location.
We didn't pay much attention to this until just recently, and then we said, why does it have to be in Louisville? Louisville, when they looked for a site, certainly didn't think outside the box. So we're going to think outside the box for them. As I look at the site where the VA has tentatively selected to put the new replacement hospital on Brownsboro Road, on a 35-acre site, it is totally inadequate.
Weaver says Radcliffe can offer the VA 50 acres along Highway 313, which connects to Dixie Highway and I-65.
A popular rest stop for tourists traveling Kentucky has been closed. The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet says the Beaver Dam rest area in Ohio County is a landmark, located in the median of the Western Kentucky Parkway. Spokesman Ryan Watt says the cabinet's lease with the operator of the site has expired.
The current vendor provided an incomplete response to the state's request for proposals, and was non-responsive to the state's request for more information. A time frame hasn't been established by the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, but it is a top priority of ours to reopen this popular service area.
Watt says the Beaver Dam location offered parking for trucks, an Arby's restaurant, gas, and restrooms.
A regional initiative that helps veterans find jobs in the greater Louisville area is partnering with the Kentucky Air National Guard's 123rd Airlift Wing to help its members transition out of the military. The initiative, called Where Opportunity Knocks, is hosting a recruiting and information booth for members of the Airlift Wing one weekend a month and office hours throughout the month. The dates have not been specified. The goal of the initiative is to connect 10,000 transitioning veterans and military spouses to jobs in the greater Louisville region by the end of 2017. Where Opportunity Knocks is funded by the Duke Energy Foundation, the Gaines Foundation, the James Graham Brown Foundation, and the Ogle Foundation. For more information, visit whereopportunityknox.com. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, mostly cloudy skies, lows in the mid-20s. Your Tuesday will be cloudy with highs around 50. There's a 40% chance of rain, and wind gusts will be up to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tuesday night, there's an 80% chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Lows will be in the mid-40s. Wednesday will be cloudy with showers likely, highs in the upper 50s, chance of rain at 70%. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it is 36 degrees in Ashland, 34 degrees in Flemingsburg. It's 37 degrees in Inez and Lexington. It's 36 in Winchester, and it is 37 degrees here in Moorhead.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, the 8th Annual Winter Adventure Weekend is coming soon to Carter Caves. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins has more.
The staff at the Carter Cave State Resort Park is gearing up for its annual event known as the Winter Adventure Weekend. Koa Ainsley is the event coordinator for the park.
It's kind of a very unique event that happens here in the last full weekend of January every year. This year, 185 different trips that are all going to deal with getting outside, everything from hiking, rock climbing, zip lining, fire building, winter survival skills, geocaching. I mean, the list goes on and on. A big part of it is caving.
The adventure is scheduled to take place on the last full weekend of this month, January 26th through the 29th. Ainsley says it's for anyone interested in the great outdoors, veterans, and beginners.
Folks that have never been involved with Winter Adventure Weekend before, we suggest them to go to the website for the event. It's winteradventureweekend.com and get familiar with the event, because a lot of these trips, they're in different levels from level 1 to level 4, with level 1 being the easiest and level 4 being the most difficult.
For those concerned about what to bring with them, Ainsley says most of the activities do not require a lot of personal gear.
The majority of these trips are going to be like level 1, level 2 trips. There's only a few that are level 3 and level 4. A lot of the trips, even like the beginner type wild caving trips, you don't need a lot of equipment for them. We require like a headlamp and a helmet, knee pads, old clothes, that type of thing. So folks that show up, we just want them to be prepared for the different trips that they're involved with.
There's more information about the Winter Adventure Weekend online at www.winteradventureweekend.com or by calling 606-286-4411. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
It is 4:48. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Chuck has sports. He's up right now.
After a long wait, the big game is here. Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chuck Mraz reporting. College football's national championship goes on the line tonight in Tampa, Florida at 8 o'clock. Clemson will meet Alabama. The Tigers will be spoiling for revenge after losing last year's title game to the Crimson Tide, 45-40. Quarterback Deshaun Watson believes he and his teammates are more than capable of making that happen.
Just play. Just be Clemson. Just be us. Don't try to do too much. Everyone do their job and don't make it bigger than what it is.
As for Alabama, freshman quarterback Jalen Hurts is still getting used to a new offensive coordinator after Lane Kiffin was fired last week and replaced by Steve Sarkisian.
They're two different people. Lane Kiffin is Lane Kiffin. Steve Sarkisian is Steve Sarkisian. They can't be one or the other. They're going to be themselves, and they both do a great job. They just do it differently.
Bama remains a touchdown favorite to win its second straight national title. Quarterback Mitch Trubisky says he's leaving North Carolina early to enter the NFL draft. Trubisky announced his decision Monday in a story posted to the Players Tribune, saying it was the most difficult decision of my life. In his only season as the Tar Heel starter, the junior ranked second in the ACC with a school record 3,748 yards passing, while also tossing 30 touchdown throws. He's been projected as a possible first-round pick. The San Francisco 49ers have interviewed Washington offensive coordinator Sean McVay for the team's vacant head coaching job. CEO Jed York met with McVay today as part of his cross-country interview tour to find replacements for fired coach Chip Kelly and general manager Trent Baalke following a 2-14 season that tied the worst mark in franchise history. The 30-year-old McVay is the youngest offensive coordinator in the NFL. Don't look now, but the formerly slumping Morehead State basketball Eagles are playing pretty good ball right now. Saturday's 73-65 home victory against SIU Edwardsville marked MSU's fourth win in its last six games, improving the Eagles to 6-10 overall and to 2-1 in the OVC. Interim coach Preston Spradlin says his guys are steadily becoming more and more confident in themselves.
Absolutely, yeah. It's going to continue to build and build and build every single game, and we're building it the right way. We're building it by guarding, defending, and doing the right things.
The MSU men host OVC East favorite Belmont at 7 o'clock Thursday. Meanwhile, the Morehead State women's basketball team remains red hot. It won its ninth straight game over the weekend by holding off SIU Edwardsville 69-66. That triumph improved Coach Greg Todd's Eagles to 14-3 overall and to 4-0 in the OVC.
Every game is pretty big out of the 16-game format, and so far so good, but we got to continue to get better.
The MSU women are slated to pay a visit to Tennessee State Wednesday evening. The Kentucky basketball team will look to keep things rolling tomorrow night. The 6th-ranked Wildcats visit Vanderbilt at 7 o'clock. Coach John Calipari's UK club will go into the contest riding a 3-game winning streak, which moved the Big Blues record to 13-2 overall and its SEC worksheet to 3-0.
You know, I'm just worried about saying how good can we get, how good can we be. We're not there yet, I can tell you.
Scoring an average of 94 points a game, UK ranks 2nd in the country in that category. Vanderbilt is 2-1 in the SEC, 8-7 overall. The Rowan County girls basketball team hopes to get its season back on track tonight when it faces Menifee County at 7:30. The Lady Vikings have lost 6 of their last 9, including a 63-53 decision last week at Menifee. But Coach Elaine Douglas says injuries and bouts with the flu have kept anywhere from 2 to 4 of her starters sidelined in recent days.
We've had a lot of different starters on the floor. We've had a lot of young kids on the floor that had virtually no varsity experience again. So hopefully we can pull things together over the next week, hopefully starting tonight.
The Lady Vikes go into their battle with Menifee at 6-8 for the year. The Lady Cats are 11-6. Only 3 games are being played in the NBA this evening. In New York, the Knicks, who've lost 7 of their last 10, are home to the Pelicans. In Minneapolis, the Timberwolves, lost 4 straight, and are in last place in the Northwest Division, are home to take on Dallas. And the final game of the night features Oklahoma City playing Chicago in a battle of the only 2 teams with winning records on the docket for today. Former big league slugger Manny Ramirez is making a comeback at the age of 44. He signed to play next season with the Kochi Fighting Dogs of the independent Shikoku Island League in Japan. Ramirez last played professionally in 2013 in Taiwan. He spent last season as a special hitting instructor in the Chicago Cubs system. And Justin Thomas beat Hideki Matsuyama Sunday to win golf's SBS Tournament of Champions in Hawaii. He finished with a final round of 4-under par 69 to end the event at 22-under. And that's a look at sports. Have yourselves a good evening. I'm Chuck Mraz for Morehead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host Belmont at 7 p.m. on Thursday and Tennessee State at 7:45 on Saturday. Women's basketball hosts Belmont at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks traded mixed as investors geared up for the start of earnings season and digested falling oil prices. And the Dow Industrials did drop back 76.42 to finish at 19,887.38. The S&P 500 was down 8.08 at 2268.9. The NASDAQ Composite did establish a new closing record as it was up 10.76 at 5531.82. New York Stock Exchange breadth was almost 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. And the NASDAQ hit a new all-time high as the iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF and Apple both advanced around 1%. Leading biotech stocks higher was Ariad Pharmaceuticals, which spiked more than 70% after it was announced that Ariad is being taken over by Takeda, a leading Japanese pharmaceutical company. In the oil markets, U.S. oil prices dropped sharply, finishing with a loss of around 3% to $52.30 a barrel. This amid concern about higher U.S. production here coming in the near future. Overseas, European equities were weak, falling broadly, with the pan-European stock 600 index sliding 0.5% as the banking sector shed around 2%. British stocks bucked the trend as the Financial Times 100 rose about 0.3%, this on the back of a falling pound. And sterling did drop more than 1% against the dollar, finishing at less than $1.22, amid talk of Britain drastically reworking trade ties with the European Union after Brexit. The dollar index, which measures the greenback's performance against six other currencies, actually traded about 0.25% lower. U.S. Treasury bond prices rose, with the two-year note yield dropping to 1.19% and the benchmark 10-year note yield falling to 2.376%. And among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Merck and Apple. Your worst performers were Exxon and IBM. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were Global Payments and Vertex Pharmaceuticals. And the worst performers were Acuity Brands and Southwestern Energy. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 89 cents at 110.89, CSX down 53 cents at 36.99, AEP down 83 cents at 62.31, AK Steel down 41 cents at 10.31, Marathon Petroleum down 90 cents at 49.47, and Community Trust Bank was down 65 cents to finish at 47.90. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
A final look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight. Mostly cloudy skies, lows will be in the mid-20s. Your Tuesday will be cloudy with highs around 50. There's a chance of rain at 40% and wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon. Your Tuesday night, cloudy with an 80% chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Lows will be in the mid-40s. Your Wednesday will be cloudy with showers likely, highs in the upper 50s. Chance of rain at 70%. Your Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a 60% chance of rain and temperatures in the lower 50s. Thursday will be mostly cloudy. There's a 40% chance of showers. Highs will be in the mid-60s. Thursday night, cloudy with showers likely. Lows in the lower 40s, and that chance of rain is at 70%. Friday will be rainy with highs in the upper 40s. Chance of rain at 80%. And Friday night will be cloudy with a 50% chance of rain showers and lows in the mid-30s. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's 36 degrees in Ashland, 34 in Flemingsburg, 37 in Inez and Lexington, 36 in Winchester, and 37 in Moorhead.
And that will put a cap on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Paul Hitchcock, Samantha Morrill, Ashley Chapman, and Chaz Jenkins. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.